Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas House lawmakers set to reconvene in less than 2 hours to vote on a redrawn congressional map. But state Democrats have fled the state, protesting what they call gerrymandering that would give the GOP 5's new seats ahead of midterms. The House must have a quorum of 100 lawmakers to proceed.
But more than 50 Texas House Democrats are in Chicago, not Austin.
We're not here to play political games.
State Representative Gene Wu of Houston.
We're here to demand an end to this corrupt process.
President Trump has said he wants to see 5 more Republicans in Congress. GOP state lawmakers here have drawn a new map that virtually guarantees it. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says Democrats will be ousted if they don't return. In Montana, the search continues for a gunman who killed 4 people inside a bar in the town of Anaconda on Friday. Police say the suspect, an Army veteran, Michael Paul Brown, is considered armed and dangerous. And on Wall Street, stocks are up in afternoon trading. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
An air quality alert is in effect for our entire listening area until noon on Tuesday. The first cases of measles in Wisconsin have been confirmed. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services and Oconto County Public Health have confirmed 9 cases of measles in the county. One person returned from out-of-state travel and was found to be the common source for the 8 additional cases. This was confirmed based on exposure and symptoms. DHS and Oconto County Public Health are working to identify and notify people who may have also been exposed to the measles virus. The risk to the community does remain low at this time. However, measles is a highly contagious disease that can be spread from person to person through the air. While these cases are in Oconto County, north of Green Bay, this is the first confirmed instance of measles virus cases in the state this year. Unvaccinated individuals have a 90% chance of catching the virus if they come in contact with a contagious person.
Wisconsin has the second lowest childhood vaccination rate for measles in the U.S. City officials are working on a remedy to publicly accessible drinking water. During the latest heat wave, bubblers across the city of La Crosse were shut off, as they have been all year, for not complying with ADA. Mayor Shawndell Washington Spivey sponsored a resolution to add drinking fountains that are compliant with ADA around the city. A second resolution seeks to preserve the non-compliant bubblers for historical reasons. A committee meeting Tuesday will address both resolutions. In the meantime, the city's bubblers will remain off. We start the week with pleasant conditions and highs around 80 degrees today. Temperatures will begin to rise throughout the week, with highs reaching 90 in western Wisconsin by Thursday. As the temperatures rise, so will the humidity, and by Friday, we could have triple-digit heat index values. However, no widespread precipitation is expected this week, and the hot, humid, but dry conditions will last through the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a 3-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively a healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kapischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner Kaylin Bavink joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allball.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allball along Mr. Aaron Zommers as our engineer producer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday. Back to work, August 4th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along after a nice weekend. A little smoky, a little breathing, maybe a little sore throat because of all the Wild West fires, smoke in the area. But otherwise, pretty darn nice. Sommers, glad to have you along back at the helm. Many thanks to Parker Olson, who filled in last Friday. We missed you. How was your weekend?
Great. Yeah, thank you, Parker, very much for filling in. I had a doctor's appointment that it ended up taking me longer than I thought. It went a little longer, and then I had to pick some stuff up from the pharmacy on the way back, but I caught them at their lunch break. It was just a comedy of errors.
Well, those things always happen. But
then I went to the Mile of Music in Appleton, and that made up for it, because it was a lot of fun.
Well, very good. Glad you had a little R&R time. Spent Saturday. Here's the deal. I did not have a lot of plans, and I've been on the road a lot for the show. We love doing that. But it turns out, Sommers, when you live alone, nobody does the laundry for you or helps out.
Very true.
There was some laundry I had to do, and that's what I thought, well, I should do it. But then my parents, my godsons, Kurt and Florcy, called, and they're my kayak companions. And I said, you know what? Grab life by the horns and enjoy it. So we ended up doing about a four-hour kayak paddle down the lower Wisconsin River, put in just below the dam at Prairie du Sac, and then went all the way down to about Mazamitie. And it was a lovely, lovely afternoon. No better thing to kind of relax yourself than get out there on the lower Wisconsin on the kayaks. So that was a lot of fun. And then I got to did my house chores yesterday, took a little walk down here by Lake Mendota. So all in all, not too bad at all. Going to be another, just talking to our producer, Luke Mathers, I guess director of operations is his correct title. But he has given us the go-ahead. Wednesday, we're going to be up in La Crosse for the show, covering the Fusion Voting event up there.
Excellent.
And so that should be a good opportunity to talk about Fusion Voting on Wednesday from La Crosse. And then on Friday, we're doing the show from Shawano. So going to be a little bit on the road here this week as well. Hope you're with us all week long for our new shows. Coming up in Hour 2 today, what's worse, our fun and silliness, neighborhood covenants, or no restrictions? We'll talk about that a little bit. I have feelings on this, by the way.
Me too.
Coming up at the bottom of this hour from Wisconsin Watch, very important story from reporter Janelle Mella on measles and vaccination rates in Wisconsin. There have been over the weekend, timely indeed, unfortunately, as new cases of measles being reported in Wisconsin. And Janelle will be here with reporting from Wisconsin Watch on that very important subject. But right now, I want to kick off the program with a friend of mine, a mentor of mine, joining us from the North Woods of Wisconsin. He is the former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader, longtime Senator, Democrat, representing the Poplar area. And northern Wisconsin in places like Bayfield, Ashland, Superior, the great North Woods. Bob Jelk joins us via StreamYard. Senator Jelk, a pleasure to have you along. Thanks for being here.
Well, what a pleasure it is to see you as well, Todd, and couldn't help but feel like I should have been with you on the kayak going down the lower Wisconsin.
Well, I
mean, you're right. There's so many beautiful places to go and enjoy this wonderful state that we live in. And I applaud the effort through your program and others to try to remind people of what's good and great about Wisconsin. It's the people who live here and what they do to make a difference in helping others.
Well, thank you very much. And for those that might know, you know, my former boss, Dale Schultz, Republican, worked very closely with Senator Jelk and the late, great Senator Tim Cullen, three former majority leaders, you know, from different parties working together on issues like mining and forestry and redistricting. But that afforded me the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to hang out with Senator Jelk. And for those that don't know, Bob is quite the conservationist historian. And I know one of the things you're really passionate about is Native American culture, not just in northern Wisconsin, but in particular. You taught me so much about the rice beds and the conservation areas up there. And so the lower Wisconsin River just literally flows into some of those same topics. I know those are things that are near and dear to your heart.
Well, you know, there's a number of tribes in northern Wisconsin that have played a very important part in personally in my life. My mother lived in Lac des Flambeaux, one of the five Chippewa tribes in the north. And so it's really become personal to me in my heart about their traditions and their culture and their communal way of living and working together with their children to try to preserve the traditions and strengthen tribal life. It's been a long and difficult time. But in many ways, it's getting much better. They're really promoting education and health care. These tribes have wonderful health care facilities. And they have a growing population of young people who are going on to college and getting degrees and coming back into the tribal communities to try to spread that notion onto others and make a difference in their communities. And so I feel really fortunate to have represented Red Cliff and Bad River and St. Croix and Le Couderay and Lac des Flambeaux in my time. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Difficult at times, especially with tribal spear fishing and the controversies that took Wisconsin boat landings back to Mississippi days. Mm-hmm. But I think we've come a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly thank you for all your work in making, helping make progress up there in the North Woods and for the state of Wisconsin. Senator Jelk is our guest. I asked you to come on in pretty short notice, so I appreciate you making time for us. And it was in light of what happened towards the end of last week. We covered this a little bit on Friday and then over the weekend. For those that might not have been looking at the news cycle, maybe spending more time on the Wisconsin River or other places in Wisconsin, and nothing wrong with that, by the way, but some pretty disturbing news coming out of the state of Texas. And I want you to help us sort through this, Senator Jelk, from a Wisconsin perspective. For those that haven't heard, Governor of Texas Greg Abbott has called a special session of the Texas legislature for the distinct purpose of redrawing the congressional maps, redistricting of sorts, although it is precipitated directly from President Donald Trump, who did not deny it over the weekend. In fact, when asked by reporters, is it true, President Trump, that you're trying to get more seats out of Texas? He cut them off and he said, yeah, five seats. So Donald Trump is telling Governor Abbott, Republican in Texas, redraw the maps to create five more Republican-leaning districts because, of course, Trump and the MAGA leadership in D.C. are deathly afraid that in the midterm elections next year that Democrats could take back control of the House. So Abbott is willing to capitulate, to genuflect politically to Trump on this. And so now over the weekend, breaking yesterday into today, many of the Democrats in the Texas legislature have left Texas for Illinois in order for there not to be a quorum so that the remaining legislature, mostly Republicans, cannot pass this or vote on it. Senator Jauch, you were part of a key part of the Wisconsin legislature in the state Senate back in 2011 in this state when Governor Scott Walker was pushing through, and most Republicans, my former boss Dale Schultz, the lone exception in the Senate, trying to pass through Act 10, which would have broken bargaining rights and ultimately did, unfortunately, for public workers. Democrats in the state Senate, yourself included, went to the beautiful Clock Tower Hotel in Rockford to put the pressure on. Talk to us a little bit about, from your perspective, what's happening in Texas and how that relates to what you all did back in 2011 in Wisconsin.
Well, in some ways, they're very similar. The proposals were being driven not for any public benefit, but rather completely to create a political environment that was better for the Republicans, to minimize Democratic voice and the public's understanding of what they were creating. In many ways, this is even more dramatic than what Walker was doing, because what's happening in Texas is really un-American. It is undemocratic by every stretch of the word, and it could have the impact of affecting the decisions directly that impacted people throughout the country. If the Republicans were successful in enacting that legislation, keeping the House by five seats that they somehow have gerrymandered to their preference. It's also nationalized because it's forcing Democratic governors in states controlled by Democrats to say, we'll have to do the same thing. And it whittles down this whole notion. It elevates gerrymandering to its highest point, in which I'm not sure what the way back is to a sense of something that was normal. I mean, clearly, reapportionment was something I really didn't like as a lawmaker. I had a fairly Democratic district, but by its nature. But in that conversation was always about people strengthening their own political might, not getting the right kind of representation that gave people power to their word in the legislative process. And so this has got really far-reaching impact on our democracy, on our nation's decisions that would be made in the next election. And I'm very worried about the direction that we're going.
Senator Jauch, Senator Bob Jauch, a Democrat from Poplar, former Senate Majority Leader, is joining us via StreamYard. Senator, about a minute here before our first break. We'll come back and we'll talk about where this leaves us in terms of redistricting and the Democrats after we come back. But quickly, give us this perspective on what's happening now with the Democrats leaving the Texas legislature for Illinois. Like you folks did in 2011, Democrats leaving Wisconsin, it not only does it stop kind of technically the proceedings, but it brings awareness to the situation.
Absolutely. It mobilized people throughout this country. I've run into people almost every week when I'm traveling outside Wisconsin, where people want to talk about it. They just see the decision we made as some sort of an heroic gesture. And I didn't think any of us saw it that way, but it's how the public viewed it, in a sense that people were standing up for things that mattered to people elsewhere. And it really pushed the button of understanding and action, I think.
I know so. I mean, our friend, late, great Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen, I think you had to do something in your district that night, so you were a little late joining us for dinner, and we walked into a restaurant bar place, I think it was in Superior, and there were a dozen, maybe 15 people at the bar, and I just kind of this goofy thing, I said, ladies and gentlemen, State Senator Tim Cullen, and the place went up for grabs. I mean, even in Superior, they knew exactly what you all as Democrats had done, and he always loved that story because it made him look like a rock star, and my former boss Dale Schultz not so much, and so Tim always loved that.
Well, it's amazing. I met Governor Wallace's daughter one time, and
right.
she said, "You're my hero for what you did in Wisconsin."
State Senator Bob Jelk is part of what makes Wisconsin great. We'll come on back, talk more with him after this on the situation in Texas and the path ahead for Democrats. Should they now get involved in partisan redistricting as well as a counter? Come back after this.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, August 4th, 2025, 22 minutes now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Zomber's on the board. Glad to have you along with us. From the text line on the Civic Media app, listening on WLCX, a great station in La Crosse. Penny asks, do you have more information on the Fusion voting event on Wednesday in La Crosse? Time and place, please. We're going to be there doing our show on Wednesday in La Crosse. Yes, we do. I'll go through all of that after the bottom of the hour before we bring on the Wisconsin Watch people. But very quickly, it's at 12:30 this Wednesday at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center. There is no fee for attendance, but registration is required. You can visit Leader Ethics, all one word, leaderethics.us. And we'll give you all that information after the bottom of the hour. There is also a streaming option as well, so we'll go through that. But right now I want to finish up our great conversation with our friend, former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Bob Jelk. Democrat of Poplar, who joins us from his home in northern Wisconsin via StreamYard, talking about what's happening in Texas, where the Democrats and most of them, the Texas legislature, have gone to Illinois to stop a quorum in the Texas legislature, thereby stopping Governor Greg Abbott's power grab, my word, at the behest of Donald Trump, to redraw the congressional map lines with the directive from Trump, which he confirmed this weekend. He wants 5 more Republican-leaning seats for a 5-seat pickup in Texas, potentially, depending upon how the elections go. And Senator Jouk's perspective as a Democrat at the time in 2011 in the state Senate, who left Wisconsin to help stop Act 10 and Governor Walker's power grab here to break public unions. Senator Jouk, help me with my memory, because, you know, there are parts of that era that I kind of block out. But as I recall, by leaving the state, you were, in fact, able to stop the vote from happening for a while, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it was.
Three weeks.
Ultimately, as memory serves, Scott Fitzgerald ended up getting some kind of, well, shaky legal advice. They split the bill, and still they basically passed it because without you guys, because they said there was no money involved, and we all know what happened after that. But you were able to stop it for a while, and as we said before the break, more importantly, perhaps, you brought awareness that lives to this day.
Well, hundreds of thousands of people throughout Wisconsin became a vocal representation of the decision we made because they saw the outrage. Not only were we did we leave the state on a Friday morning to create awareness in the state, to give the public a chance to better understand what is being proposed, but it was also to slow the process down. They wanted to do the legislative process in 5 days, and literally not giving the public who was showing up in Madison in speaker after speaker 24 hours a day, they wanted to deny them the opportunity to have any voice.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I remember when Governor Walker and his entourage walked into the closed Senate Republican conference and announced this, and people looked at each other like, holy hell, the Republican senators didn't even know this. He never ran on it, Walker didn't. And so that's a really important point that you gave the public time to digest this. At one time, there were 100,000 people on the lawn of the state capitol.
That number continued to grow. And you know, you talked about the Republican caucus. You were, as a staff member, involved in some of those behind-the-scenes caucus discussions. Know that many of your members, Republican caucus members, were not in support of this. Didn't like the 100%. Idea. Didn't want it to happen. And so not only were we trying to give the public the opportunity to better understand it, but to begin to put some pressure on those Republican members to say, wait a minute, let's find some middle ground. And there was plenty of middle ground to be found on the whole question of negotiations, timelines, and other things with labor unions.
Yeah.
The labor unions were willing to come to the table, admitted it publicly, were willing to make many concessions. And so, there was no argument about what the issue was. The issue, however, the hidden issue was the governor simply wanted to destroy unions, take away their voice, and deny the public the opportunity to better understand it.
Yeah. Another great point, because there was room for opportunity to come together. Senator Dan Capanke of La Crosse at the time was almost there. My former boss would have stopped it, but essentially he was bought out by the big money during his congressional race over there, and that's a whole other story. We'll have to have you back sometime and talk about that. I want to give you the opportunity, Senator. 2 minutes left here, a little under that. What should Democrats, in your opinion, do now in nationally, these different states who control state legislatures? Should they participate in this, I'm going to call it partisan gerrymandering, to stop basically perhaps a takeover of the government by MAGA that you can't get back?
I hate to hear myself saying this, but I don't think they have any choice at this moment. I mean, your ultimate goal for Democrats is to stop the Texas legislature from enacting. I don't think we're going to be able to do that. So therefore, you have to try to create a momentum in other states to create more democratic opportunities. And the ultimate winner will be in November of next year.
Yeah.
If the Democrats do enough of it, it seems to me that will be the ultimate judge, right, of whether this was a necessary idea, not necessarily a good idea.
Senator Jauch, a former Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader, I cannot tell you how much it means to me to have you on the show today, have your perspective. It's a unique one. It's an important one. We'd love to have you back again. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very kindly.
Our pleasure. Former Senate Majority Leader Bob Jauch, come on back. We'll talk a little measles and vaccinations on the other side with Wisconsin Watch. It's an important topic. You do not want to miss it. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You follow that familiar smell of grilled pork through the fairgrounds, it'll take you to the pork shop. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and today we talk to Morgan Warwick. She's the Program and Marketing Director at the Wisconsin Pork Association. With the state fair still in full swing, that means Wisconsin Pork's pork shop is still busy feeding fairgoers. Recent renovations to the shop mean more pork chops can be served than ever before.
Yeah, so we were really trying to kind of upgrade and modernize a little bit, make things more efficient, make something that's easier to transport if we want to go to different events. And so that was a big asset. They were custom made. We had a great crew that did it and planned for them. And so we're learning each year. But like I said, in just its couple years here, we're really excited to be able to serve more pork out of it. And like I said, increase efficiency for everybody.
The pork shop expects to sell over 25,000 pieces of pork at this year's state fair. Morgan Warwick along with us. She's the program and marketing director for the Wisconsin Pork Association. Stick with us. I'll have a look at some more news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The DNR has mobilized fire control program staff across western United States and Canada. This is in an effort to combat increased wildfire activity and assist in suppression and protection efforts. Personnel and fire suppression equipment are allocated to these fires through mutual aid agreements. The agreement is outlined by federal firefighting agencies and the Great Lakes Forest Fire Compact. The compact is comprised of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Manitoba, and Ontario, Canada. Their main goal is to promote resource sharing throughout the Great Lakes region, including personnel, equipment, information, training, and technology. Nearly 70 large-scale wildfires are burning over 1 million acres in the U.S. The mobilized Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for 2 weeks or until the fire subsides. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll have Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, Chad Holmes from our Civic Media station in Wausau, and our Way Up North segment from Ashland.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, August 4th. Zomer is on the board. Many thanks to former State Senator Bob Jauch for coming on today, talking about that situation in Texas. Important indeed. Spent quite a bit of time last week when it was broke here on this program. Continue to follow it because ultimately this could be one of those things where if this is allowed to go through in Texas, Democrats could counter either in Illinois and or places like California, and it really can come down to the fight for democracy. So a very important issue, which we will continue to follow. Speaking of democracy, talked about it there before the news update with Pam, farm ag update with Pam Yonke and Midwest Farm Report. Wednesday on this program, we're going to be back on the road up in beautiful La Crosse for the Leader in Ethics event on fusion voting called Reviving a Forgotten Fix for a Broken System. On the docket is Lee Roche, the executive director of Leader Ethics and a plaintiff in the legal suit to reestablish the legality of fusion voting based upon the conditions of the Wisconsin State Constitution. Also, Dave Mahoney, former sheriff, Democrat of Dane County. My former boss, one of them, Dale Schultz, former Republican state senator of Richland Center, Christine Andrews, the executive director of United Wisconsin, and Rusty Cunningham, former publisher and executive editor of La Crosse Tribune and the River Valley News, will moderate the program. It is open to the public. It's a one-hour program starting at 12:30 in the afternoon this Wednesday, August 6th. The location is the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center on Rose Street, La Crosse. There is no fee for attendance, but registration is required. To register, go online. Simply go to Leader Ethics, all one word, leaderethics.us. Leaderethics.us. Zomers has all that information. We'll put it in the show notes as well. So you have that. We'll be talking more about it as we get closer to Wednesday. Right now, 37 past the hour of 2, we turn our attention to another great organization here. Always love it when they stop by. Wisconsin Watch. You can find all this, all their work at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. One of their fine reporters, Janelle Mella, is here in studio with me. Good afternoon, Janelle. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for coming in. Before we get into this very important reporting on measles, first time anybody stops by, we always like to ask the question, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into journalism.
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from a really small town in Illinois, Gilbert's, Illinois, if you've ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm currently a journalism student at Northwestern University. I am going into my junior year upcoming in the fall, but yeah, my journalism journey started pretty young, not direct journalism, but I've always had a strong passion for storytelling and specifically telling the stories of others. So as I got older, kind of combined that with a passion to pursue a career that told the stories of other people and made people feel heard and seen, as that's what I believe journalism should be. So yeah, fast forward to college at Northwestern. I'm studying journalism, and I write for the school paper, the Daily Northwestern, if you've ever heard of it.
Of course, yeah.
And yeah, since then, I now work for Wisconsin Watch, which, for those of you who don't know it, it's a nonprofit, nonpartisan investigative news outlet based in Madison, but we cover issues across the state. Yeah, I'm interning there this summer as a Scripps Howard Fund intern, And I mainly cover rural issues around the state of Wisconsin. And yeah, my most recent focus has been on the measles story that I'm about to talk about today.
Well, glad you're here. And, you know, I'm obviously a little partial to the Wisconsin J School, but I'm going to quickly add one of my former bosses, Scott Klug. Before he was a congressman, he was a longtime journalist and is a graduate of the J School at Northwestern. And they do some really great work. Wasn't there a big story that the Northwestern paper down there broke here?
Yeah.
Was it a year ago or so? What was that big story that they had a lot of press for it?
Over the summer, it was to do with the Northwestern football team.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And that was, and as we have people from Badger Herald and Daily Cardinal on. I don't even like to say anymore student newspaper. You guys are journalists, full stop, because you're doing important work, breaking stories, and I think that gives me a lot of hope for the future of this industry, people like you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still kind of growing as a journalist and figuring out the industry myself, but definitely student papers and Wisconsin Watch definitely helps with that as well.
Absolutely. Well, happy to have you here. Let's get right to this story. The headline reads, "I would never wish it on anyone. Measles resurgence spurs memories of past toll in Wisconsin." Subheadline, decades after contracting measles during the pre-vaccination era, residents recall how infection disrupted their lives. Measles is now returning to the U.S., and 9 infections were recently confirmed in Oconto County, unquote. This is a great story. It's a long-form story, which I love. I would encourage all of our listeners and viewers to go to wisconsinwatch.org to read this. I could tell you're a storyteller because you bring these stories of people to life. Was that, as you did your research for this story, was that your choice to tell this through the lens of people who had experienced this?
Yeah, so actually my editor, Jim Malewitz, he kind of prompted the idea based on, we did a call out a while back for our readers to kind of just let us know about their perspectives on measles and anything they had to share. And a lot of folks had kind of mentioned, hey, I had this when I was much younger. Like, I don't think people understand how terrible of a disease it was. And so he kind of brought that to me and was like, it'd be kind of cool to kind of look more into this, reach out to some of these people. And so, yeah, as I began talking to more people and reaching out, that's kind of what I learned. It was like the story was almost told through their voices. And I didn't have to do a lot of, you know, the storytelling myself. They each had a very unique story to share based on measles and their experience with it. And so I kind of had that guide my future reporting and, you know, doing more of the research into what that time was like and kind of what that means today.
Your story datelined is August 4th here. Over the weekend, even more reports of measles outbreaks across Wisconsin. So certainly timely indeed. One of the people you start with here is somebody that I know really well, Dorothy Thompson from my hometown, Richland Center. I've known her for like 30 years through the campus, mainly a great community person, done so much for the community. But tell us a little bit about Dorothy. So I've known her for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I did not know this about her until I read your story. Tell us about it.
Yeah. She was one of the first people that I had reached out to. And she kind of gave it that kind of little anecdote at the beginning, like she would never wish it on anyone. She had an experience so terrible that it stuck with her for years after. And that was kind of a big thing I learned with talking to people. It was like, you know, many of these people are in their 70s and 60s now, but they remember such a critical time when they were like 5 or 6 years old. So Dorothy was one of those people. And one of the things that she said remained vivid in her mind was like being packed in ice. Mm-hmm. And that was something like, you know, I don't think I would see nowadays or see people talk about that. So listening to that and kind of just being like, wow, like I wasn't alive during this time, I wouldn't know that. But like she's sharing that with me and I get to share it with other people. So yeah, it was a really eye-opening experience to talk to people who just were like, this is how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And like, these were the treatments that don't exist anymore.
And what struck me hearing Dorothy's story through your reporting, my mom lives in the same town, Richland Center. She's a couple of years older than Dorothy, but this was an era when everybody wanted to be vaccinated, pretty much. That my mom tells stories of hey, after church in the small town, everybody went and stood in line in the hospital to get a polio vaccine or whatever it might be. And Dorothy is one of those people that experienced this when many people her age haven't because of vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something we learned as well, just talking to people. Some folks who had it were like, when vaccines in general came out, like you were saying, people were very like, very eager to get them just because after experiencing, you know, the toll that a lot of these diseases took on them. And so, yeah, it's kind of shocking now not to see that.
We're speaking with Janelle Mella from Wisconsin Watch. Her story is up on online right now at wisconsinwatch.org. Very important story, very interesting story on measles in the state of Wisconsin. The history is told through the lens of several people who have lived through this. One of the things in this story, Janelle, that again just struck me was some of the newspaper accounts of back in the day. Here's one from August 14th, 1930, headline: 31,287 deaths in state last year, department says. This is just incredible, the amount. This is from the Appleton Post Crescent. Also in the journal Times of Racine from 1960, measles parties, peril to children. But that's what, before we had vaccines, people would say, well, your kid's got that. I want my kid to get it so they get natural immunity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big shocking part of my reporting, was learning this like phenomenon called measles parties. And it was essentially where like people, it was so common back then that people were getting measles that at one point doctors even recommended that people expose their children to the disease, saying, hey, if you get it early on, then maybe you won't get the hard parts of it later on and getting over with now to have immunity. But, you know, as time goes to show, measles parties didn't eradicate the disease, but yeah.
But and also, again, through your storytelling in this story at Wisconsin Watch, one line here from your story, a Door County resident, Pam Goodlett, recalled measles bout from 1963 as a 13-year-old. She says, quote, I was ill and bedridden for weeks. When I was finally able to get up, I was a skeleton. My pants couldn't stay up and my clothes hung on me, end quote. The report is really powerful because there's so many people that I think they look at this as a cold. And I'm not here to diminish COVID because many people died of COVID. But nowadays, people are like, oh, yeah, it's just like a bad cold. This is nothing to pun intended, I guess, sneeze at. This is deadly serious in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's even more dangerous about it is that it's a disease people haven't seen in so long. Mm-hmm. So its resurgence kind of brings back almost some of that refreshing. And we spoke to a lot of public health departments about that, just about like, you know, since it's something many nurses may have not even been around during the time and now have to treat, like, how are they preparing for that? So it was nice to see that many of the public health departments have been preparing. And now that it has hit Wisconsin as of this weekend, that, you know, there's some safety behind that.
One of the other things, your other story here, another person you interviewed, Peggy Haas, age 69, a registered nurse in Waukesha County, became a firm believer, you write, in vaccines after witnessing the damage measles could inflict. In your reporting, is one of your takeaways, I don't want to overstate it, you keep me honest, but is part of these people speaking out, is it to say, look, you younger folks didn't live through this. You don't understand the danger. And put science before politics.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, one of the main things that I took away from it was like, these are stories of people that actually happened, and maybe stories that weren't all captured in newspapers of the time. And because, you know, now it's years later, we can actually see some of those long-term effects that weren't visible in the past when people first contracted them. So yeah, it's kind of, it was going to be a way as like eye-opening for people who, yeah, like myself, who have no idea of that time besides reading newspapers, but it's nice to hear accounts of people who lived today, but also lived back then to share their stories.
Just a couple of minutes left here. You talk about vaccines being a turning point in public health. What haven't I asked you that you think is important for our listeners to understand about this story and about the situation as measles, unfortunately, is back in Wisconsin?
Yeah, kind of a part of those call-outs we did, a lot of people had some uncertainty about whether they were vaccinated, whether they should get vaccinated, and like whether they had measles as a child. And I think a big takeaway we found was it's always better to be safe. So to check in with healthcare providers and trusted doctors to know what next steps are. And it's always safer than not to be safe.
Janelle Mella, thank you from Wisconsin Watch. This story and more at wisconsinwatch.org. Thank you for your reporting. Great story.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure. Come on back. Talk more about this on the other side.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We're exploring redistricting this week, including its cheating side. By manipulating which voters are in a voting district, the party in power can rig the system to guarantee a win for that party. Ronald Reagan called it the anti-democratic and un-American practice of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering was named for Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts governor and signer of the Declaration of Independence, who approved an 1812 partisan map resembling a salamander. Partisan legislatures still pack members of their own party into snake-like districts to create safe seats and protect incumbents, or crack a district which leans to the opposing party and dilute its power by adding friendly voters. Gerrymandering flies in the face of the American ideal of competition. Safe seat incumbents don't have to work as hard to get elected because once they win the primary, they're a shoo-in to win the general. It suppresses competition between parties and new candidates whose ideas might benefit constituents. Primaries become a race to the bottom as candidates cater to hardcore, more extreme party primary voters and ignore centrist voters and independents. The lack of competition also suppresses turnout as voters say, "Why should I bother? It's already decided." There's an even more insidious form of gerrymandering, racial gerrymandering. We have more on that tomorrow. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing truth. All ball on the mic. Zommer is behind the board. You across Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. Glad to have you along. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Many thanks to great reporter Janelle Mella of WisconsinWatch.org for being here to talk about this very, very important story on measles in Wisconsin. Following up to that great interview and her telling us about this story at Wisconsin Watch. One of the sub-headlines in this story says how health officials are responding. Says, but the virus is back, with the U.S. seeing more than 4 times as many infections in 2025 than all of 2024 in terms of measles. And it has now been detected in Wisconsin. In Oconto County, quote, all of the cases were exposed to a common source during out-of-state travel, unquote, the state health department said in a statement over the weekend on Saturday. They went on to say, quote, DHS, in coordination with the Oconto County Public Health, is working to identify and notify people who may have been exposed to the measles virus. At this time, no public points of exposure have been identified, and the risk to the community remains low, unquote. story in Wisconsin Watch goes on to say Wisconsin is vulnerable to an outbreak due to its relatively low childhood vaccination rates. It is just one of 15 states that allow vaccine exemptions for medical, religious, and personal belief reasons. No Wisconsin county comes close to reaching the vaccination rate of 95% that is considered the benchmark for herd immunity protection. Public health officials are bracing themselves to respond. This is serious stuff, particularly for people with young children, particularly with people with autoimmune diseases, particularly for the elderly. And now it is here in Wisconsin. Crossing over for a second in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, by the way, it says one case of measles was found through testing at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene, while the other eight were identified through symptoms, according to a statement released on August 2nd. So, in this case in Oconto County, it appears over the weekend, it must have been a family or a group that went traveling outside of Wisconsin and then brought it back. Because of HIPAA rules, and I know our friend Jane Matt-Nair and Greg Bach and Matt-Nair on air touched on this morning as well. Because of HIPAA rules, the law basically regarding medical rules, there's only so much they can say. They can't say, well, it happened specifically to this family or this address. But you wonder, right? Did they fly to wherever they were and flew back? Did they drive? We don't know. And that drives home the point why it is so important to have vaccinations up to date. Because we don't know. We don't know the person sitting next to us on the plane or sitting next to us in a crowded restaurant, whether they've had their vaccinations or not. So you have your vaccination to protect yourself. And the really scary part is that my former party has gone all in on the drinking of the Kool-Aid on this, on the right. Robert Kennedy Jr., one of the biggest anti-vaccine people out there, even he's walked back some stuff. And at the end of the day, when questioned under in a Senate committee, he said, well, I'm probably really not the person you should be taking advice from when it comes to vaccines. Oh, now you tell us. Thanks. Appreciate that. Whoever you vote for president at the top of the ticket, for governor, for whoever you vote for, I encourage you, I beg you, don't put political rhetoric before your kids and your family and your own health. If you want to drink the Kool-Aid on tariffs and taxes or whatever, I mean, I think that's pretty bad in itself as well. But what we're talking about here is life and death. And many thanks to the people who had the courage to tell their stories, like my friend Dorothy Thompson of Richland Center and everybody else in this great story at WisconsinWatch.org, and for Janelle Mella for her great reporting. These folks like Dorothy Thompson are coming forward because they want to warn you, because they want to let you know this is not political BS. This is real. People have died. Many people died. Thousands, tens of thousands. And many people lived through it, barely. So this is not a hoax. This is not some quote-unquote woke propaganda or left-wing, however you want to characterize it. This ain't that. This is real. So get your kids vaccinated. Don't drink the Kool-Aid on this. If you're on the right, do the right thing by way of your kids. Because God forbid come a day, if you don't vaccinate them, where they're lying in the hospital bed on a ventilator, and then you get religion, figuratively and literally. and you try to make a deal with God, please spare my child, I'll do anything. I believe in the power of prayer, but I also believe that sometimes there are lessons to be learned and consequences to be realized by making bad choices on our own point. Don't be part of that. Vaccinate your kids. Measles are real. Great reporting by WisconsinWatch.org. Come back with hour two after this. What's worse? Neighborhood covenants. Luke's never heard of that word. Or no restrictions. Come on back after this on the All Ball Show.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas Democrats have left the state capitol and dozens have fled the state, protesting Republican plans to redraw congressional maps to give the GOP five more House seats before midterms. Democrats call those carved-out maps gerrymandering. ABC's Maria Villarreal is outside the capitol in Austin, where the governor has ordered state Democrats back next hour or to face fines.
Just like most government buildings around the country, this one is actually open for visitors, and it really is the last week or two before school starts. So we are seeing a lot of people come in and just check things out. They know the drama that is going to possibly ensue here in just a few hours. And that's when we're expecting them to gavel in.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now says he plans to convene his cabinet this week to outline a military solution on how to defeat Hamas and free the remaining Hamas-held hostages in Gaza. Investors on a buying spree for stocks today before U.S. tariffs on foreign goods kick in this week. This is ABC News.
Eagle